I think somebody left. Good evening. I hope you're all well. Please join me in saying the Anabakoah. Anabakoah. Gedula Chimincha. Tati. Serura. Aleph Gimel. Yutaf Tati. Kabil. Excuse me. The two letters of the month of Tevet is the Ayin and the Bet. The Ayin created the constellation of Gedi, of Capricorn. The Bet created the planet Saturn, Shabtai. The gematria of the two letters together is 72. Which connects us to the level of wisdom. It connects us to the level of the 72 names of God. The six letters that make the first letters of all of these six words, these six letters have a gematria of 506 that relates to the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love.
Kabel.
Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu no Freshayan, Sentet Nun. These six letters form two three-letter Hebrew words, Kra, Satan, which means tear up the Satan, tear up the negativity, destroy the negative side. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell two other Hebrew words, which are Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates. And it's a reminder to us that the entry of the negative side within us or into us is through the gates of our body, which are all in the head, our eyes, our ears, our nose, and our mouth are all gates that leave entry into us. We need to restrict, to put guards on those gates, to limit the access to our internal essence to the negative side, to keep the negativity out of us. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem nun gimel dalad yud kaf shin. Nun Gimel Dalet has the gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, which means parnassah, or sustenance. And sustenance represents fulfillment. We can use this sequence of three letters to help manifest fulfillment in all areas of our life, not just the physical areas of money, although that's included as well. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that we utilize to take back the energy that we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sitkatcha Tami Gamlem Bet Tetresh, Sadi Taf Gimel. Chasin Kadosh, Birov Tuvcha, Nael Adatach. Bet Kuf Bet Tet Nun Ayin. Yachid Keye, Lam chapene zo grey kedu shata. Yud gimel lamed hey zayin kuf. This sequence can be utilized to help speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziyakatenu yodeya talumot shinkufav sadiyutav. The last four letters of this verse, the last four letters of that sequence, has the same gematria as the first sequence, 506, which is connected to Ahavatinam, unconditional love. The first two letters of this sequence, Shin and Kuf, has a gematria of 400. And they represent, 400 represents the four worlds, each with 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot, or a complete or a perfect vessel. The last verse is representing manifestation of our life desires, of our images, of our visions of how we want our life to be. We can utilize the six letters, the sequence, to help us achieve that and manifest that within our life. And we learn from these connections that all of the creative process must start with love and must include love within each step until you manifest it into your life. Love is the energy, the essence, that makes things happen in our world. The Creator, the essence of the Creator is love. Our lives are filled with love as long as we are open to receive that love and to share that love. And the eighth verse, we say in a whisper, I'm going to now read a verse from the Zohar, from the portion of Vayigash, which is the portion from this week. I'm reading from section 7, and Yosef could not restrain himself. Verse number 62. Vayihi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kunenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kunenehu. Velo yakol Yosef lehitapek lekol hanitzavim alav v'gomer. Rabbi Chiya patach v'yamar. Pizar Natan le'evyonim. Sidkato omedet la'ad karno. Tarum b'kavod ta chatze. Kuchabarichu bara alma v'ashlet ale li'adam. Dihe malka al kola. Then Yosef could not restrain himself before all them that stood by him. A verse from Genesis chapter 45. Rabbi Chiya opens the discussion with the verse, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever, his horn shall be exalted with honor. A verse from Psalms, chapter 112. Come and see, the Holy One, blessed be He, created the world and made Adam ruler over it, to be king over all. We have two verses in different parts of the Tanakh, different parts of our Torah. But they're both referring to the Sefirah of Yesod. Yesod is a sephirah that channels everything from the upper worlds into our world, and also carries back the actions and prayers that we do in this world, carries it back to the upper worlds, which, after it's evaluated, brings back down to us the actual lasting fulfillment. We draw direct light, but then through our restriction, we send that light back up into the upper worlds, and then it falls back down in order to be lasting fulfillment. There, this is the process and the cycle. And Yesod is that Sefirah that is constantly attached to our physical world. It's constantly pouring blessings to us as long as we have the desire to receive those blessings, as long as we perceive that, as long as we do our work, our spiritual work. These two verses, one from Psalms, is describing the Sefirah of Yesod. It channels everything, both good and bad, both loving chesed and gevura, the judgments associated. This is, Yesod does not put evaluation. Everything flows through it in both directions. This is the energy of Yesod. This is actually the time that we live in, which leads into my discussion tonight about the Mashiach, or Mashiachios. But until we start that, are there any questions?
I would like to discuss. I know that there is a prayer with David.
Yes.
I know that after God, both wash and then say prayers of the hands. But then we have like 18 prayers.
Yes.
Both prayers after we wash our hands for the,
yes.
Or at 4 o'clock in the morning, I think.
Well, there are different levels of consciousness. There are different levels of actions.
What is your pattern?
My pattern is not necessarily correct for another person. The Mukubalim teach, and let me explain. Patricia's asking the question, what's the correct pattern of actions in the morning when one wakes up to make their connection and to set their tone and their essence for the day? So Patricia is asking what is the correct order of that sequence. And what the Mukubalim teach is the first 6 hours of the night before midnight is a connection to life. After midnight, there's a connection to death. So if you are sleeping during that period, then you are connecting to death. The Mukubalim do not want to connect with death, but we're human, and they're human. So they say to wake up as early as possible after midnight that is appropriate for your soul. When you get up, you say the Moda Ani, or the Moda Ani prayers, depending on if you're a man or a woman, which is a connection to connect your soul back to your body. You then get dressed. Actually, you wash hands. You say the Modena knee while you're in bed. You get up, you go to the bathroom, and you wash hands. The Mukubalim actually bring a vessel of water that they wash by their bed because they don't want to take more than 4 steps. But again, most of us, we walk to the bathroom, we wash our hands with the two-handed vessel, and then we get dressed, and then we say the prayer over the washing of their hands, because it's inappropriate to say God's name when you're not dressed. That's out of honor to Hashem. So you say the prayer of washing the hands. Then there are two prayers that Elohei Neshama, which connects your soul back to your body and strengthens that connection. then you say the 18 blessings. Then you start your study. Now your study goes until you fall asleep again. Some people who get up at King David could get up at midnight, as the psalm says, the north wind would ring his chimes. I'm paraphrasing, but it says the north wind rang his chimes and woke him up, and then he would get up at midnight and do the exact what I described, and then he'd study until the morning prayer, which is to say the Amidah at the time that the sun comes up. That is what most of the Mekubalim do. They study from as soon as they wake up and through their morning prayer. Sometimes they then go back to sleep. Most of them are on the level where they don't need 6 or 8 hours of sleep. They can get away with 3 or 4. So they go to sleep at 9, 10 at night, get up at 1 in the morning, and that's their day. They study until, you know, they have to go to work or whatever else is part of their process. Which is it's an excellent approach, and that's the best time to study. And so you do what's right for you. You don't endanger your health, but understand that your pattern is different.
But then I do the watching and everything at 1 o'clock in the morning.
But as soon as you wake up.
And then when I fall asleep again, because I do fall asleep again, and then I stop.
Well, if you fall asleep again, you do the same process, except you don't say the 18th blessings.
Oh.
You just you say the Modeh Ani, and you wash your hands and say that blessing, and then you do your morning blessings, but you don't do those 18 blessings again. You only say those once a day.
And then the washing of the hands only applies to Shabbat or every time?
No. Whenever you wash for eating, which is any time you're going to eat bread, the minhag, according to the custom, according to the Ari, is to wash twice on the right, connecting to the yud and the vav, and twice on the left, connecting to the two hays. So you wash the 4 times connecting to the yud kei vav kei. When you're washing for cleansing, which is what you would be doing in the morning, you do 6 washings, right, left, right, left, right, left, connecting to the level, the 6 heavens, in essence. Did I answer your question? Are there any other questions before we get started? The subject tonight is Mashiach. The source of all of this discussion is within the Torah itself, and within the books of the prophets, within the writings, within the various scrolls of Esther and Lamentations, and all of the books of the Tanakh all have stories and have teachings associated with Mashiach. Mashiach means Redeemer. It comes from the Shoresh of talking about redemption. Now, Mashiach, the people who follow the man from Nazareth perceive him as a Messiah. They perceive him as a prophet who is also the Messiah. And they teach that there will be a second coming of this person, of this Messiah. I've never heard an explanation as to why they think it comes twice, because this is not a Jewish teaching. What is the Jewish teaching is that there are two Messiahs. So it is possible that there can be two comings of the Messiah, because there are two comings of the Messiah. But we will discuss that and understand the differences between the two messiahs that I'm talking about just now. The Muslims also teach that the Muhammad who started their religion is a prophet. These are the basic differences in Judaism. Judaism says that in order to be a prophet, the Sanhedrin, the highest court, the court made up of the most wise people in the Jewish nation, the Sanhedrin must confirm that the prophet is a prophet. And they undergo a test, which is very clearly defined in the Torah what that test is. And if the prophet passes the test, he is declared a prophet, and he achieves a certain level of respect and wisdom and authority by being a prophet. If he does not pass the test, he's declared a false prophet. And there is a mitzvah, there is a commandment to kill the false prophet. So someone who is choosing to say, I am a prophet, is running a very great risk in the frame of Judaism. The Messiah, the Mashiach, starts out by being a prophet. He doesn't say, I'm the Mashiach. He must first be anointed by the Sanhedrin as a prophet. He may think he's the Mashiach beforehand, but his process is to be tested by the Sanhedrin. Now, I'm going to change subjects a little bit to try and give you some additional perspective. In Judaism, we are taught that per the verse in Psalms, a day of God is 1,000 years for man. I'm paraphrasing the verse. But essentially, we have a teaching and a tradition that teaches that there are 7,000 years for the period of creation until the Mashiach arrives. We also have a verse in Isaiah that teaches that the Messiah will come in its normal time, or it can be hastened. It can come quicker. It can come immediately. And the portion this week of Vayigash, or last week in Miketz, Joseph was in jail in the depths of the Klipa, the depths of the pits. And he immediately was rushed to see Pharaoh. They gave him time to clean up and dress because it needed to be honored. But Joseph immediately arrived at the highest level of the land of Egypt. He was second only to Pharaoh. And that essence, Joseph represents the Yesod. So we understand all of these connections. The Messiah can come overnight, or the Messiah can come in a natural evolutionary process. The Messiah can come as a revolutionary process, meaning immediately, rushed, with generally considered a lot of chaos, or the Messiah can come in an orderly, natural, step-by-step evolution, which is what we are seeing in our world, in our generation. The gates of wisdom, according to the Kabbalists, opened up with the Industrial Revolution in 1740, or approximately 1750. I'm using the modern Gregorian calendar dates. In the Jewish dates, that year was 5750, which is the understanding of the 1,000 years to a day of Hashem. that understanding is look at our week is 7 days long. That represents the six heavens and the physical world, the seven lower sephirot. Each of those sephirot are connected to 1,000 years. So from 0 to 999 was chesed. From 1,000 to 1999 was gevurah. From 2,000 to 2999 was tiferet. And if we look back at the years and the dates and what happened in those years in our world history, we can connect those actions to the consciousness of those sephirot if there's a very clear direction. 2448 was the year that the Torah was given. The Torah is the idea of balance. The Torah is how to live your life. When would that come? In the sephirah of Tiferet. It wouldn't come in judgment, and it wouldn't come in love by itself. It's a mixture of both. It's because there needs to be a limitation on sharing in our world, as well as there needs to be the sharing. So we need to have this balance. As we continue throughout history, we see when did the temples get destroyed, and those times is dealing with the differences in the Sephirot between Netzach and Hod and ultimately Yesod, which is the years 5,000 to 5999, which means Shabbat comes in on the 6,000th year to the 7,000th year. This is the understanding. So we are in the year 5770. It's Friday afternoon as far as the consciousness is. We're preparing for Shabbat. It's Friday afternoon on the day that Adam and Chava were created, and the day when Adam and Chava made their mistake. What modern Mekubalim teach is the internet is representing the same consciousness as the tree of life, the tree of knowledge, good and evil. The technology of the internet came in the year 5750, three quarters of the way through the day, 12 o'clock noon on Friday on the day Adam was created, exactly at the same time that Adam was created. Each of these connections are all made within the teachings of Kabbalah. When we understand that Yesod comes from the male or from the sex organ, and we visualize a phallic symbol, the male sex organ, we see that there are two parts to that. There's a part that's the stem and a part called the crown. All of these have various meanings in Kabbalah and teaching, but the essence of understanding is there is a period where the Yesod has both aspects, a crown that is different than the stem. That period of time is represented by preparing for Shabbat early, by the period that we are in, starting in 5750, which was the year 2000, and culminating in the year 6000. During those 250 years, of which we have already used up 10, or 20 of those years, during those years, we can have the Mashiach ben Yosef, who represents the stem, or Mashiach Ben David, who represents the crown, the Adarit. What is the difference between the stem and the crown? Without going into any of the visualizations that I've used up till now, there is a difference. There's a difference of sensitivity. There's a difference of actions. In the books of prophets and all of the Midrashim, we are given these two different scenarios. Mashiach will come with chaos, with Armageddon war, which is the Hebrew phrase Gog to Magog, and the shoresh of the word Gog and Magog, they're similar shoreshes, teach us that the war of Armageddon is a war of consciousness. It does not have to be a physical war, although it might be. The stories say that Mashiach ben Yosef will come and announce to the world it's time to return to Israel. Mashiach ben Yosef will deal with the other nations. Mashiach ben Yosef will represent the political leader of the nation of Israel. There is a period of overlap where Mashiach ben David can overlap and be in the same world at the same time as Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben David represents the spiritual leadership of the nation of Israel. Not just the political leadership, but the spiritual leadership as well. Joseph represents the political leadership. He represents the king. The spiritual leadership is represented by Mashiach ben David. The structure that the Torah teaches us to govern ourselves is a three-level structure, similar to the teachings of the American Constitution. You have a court system, and you have a political leadership, and you have a legislative leadership, an executive leadership and a legislative leadership. The same thing is true in Torah description. We have the priest who represents the spiritual leadership. But the priest is a third Mashiach. The priest throughout our teachings, we describe him as Eliyahu Nahanavi, Eliyahu the prophet, who was Pinchas from the stories in Numbers, a Pinchas who, through his zealotry, killed the enemies of Israel, saved the Jewish nation, and became a priest for all time. Obviously, he started as a priest. And we are taught that that person reincarnated, or is part of the souls reincarnated into the prophet Samuel, and then into the prophet Eliyahu, who was all one person who lived more than approximately 1,000 years. This person, this soul, this energy will return in the time for Shabbat. He will return as our priest. He will be Eliyahu Hanavi. He will be who is Pinchas ben Eliezer ben Aaron, the high priest. He will be the person that we will turn to for spiritual guidance, until he transfers that to Mashiach ben David, who is the exec- management of our government. Who is our king? And we also have Mashiach ben Yosef, who is the war aspect of the political system. And we have the Sanhedrin, which is the high court. So we have the three systems. We have the executive, represented by the king, which can be either Mashiach ben Yosef, or Mashiach ben David, or both together. We have a tradition, a custom, a teaching, that says that Mashiach ben Yosef will die in the war protecting the nation in Israel and Jerusalem. And Mashiach ben David will take over at that point. But we also have a tradition that says we can change that prophecy, because we know that no negative prophecy has to manifest. Every positive prophecy that we have written in our Torah must take place before the coming of Mashiach, meaning that it will take place before the coming of Mashiach. And we just have to open our eyes to understand the metaphors, to see how they are happening in our time. But we have the three levels of the Sanhedrin, which is the court, the king, which is the political section, and the priest, which is the spiritual section. Ultimately, the Mashiach ben David will entail the spiritual and the physical together. That's what the Mashiach represents, the unity of our spiritual and physical worlds. So he is a person, if he is a person, and there are sages who teach that there will be a physical person, and there are sages who teach that it's an essence, an energy, a consciousness, and a metaphor. And so it does not have to have a physical person. You can choose which you want to accept. It doesn't matter. It's going to happen whatever you believe. Why do I say that? The Mashiach will come. The energy will manifest. Whether there is a person or there isn't a person will not change the effect of those prophecies that describe the Garden of Eden on earth. The serenity, the peace, the loving kindness that is our future on earth is going to happen. There are forces in the world that are trying to prevent it. They will lose. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that statement. Yes, the process can be chaotic. And so in the process of those forces losing, a lot of souls will be caught up and receive chaos. But it's chaos they have created for themselves. And there will be a lot of souls who are given a pass on that chaos. Kabbalah is teaching people how to get the pass, how to do tshuva in advance of the Mashiach, so that there does not have to be chaos in that person's life. We are living in a time where half of the Jewish nation lives in Israel, and half of the Jewish nation lives in the United States, with a very, very small 1-3% spread around the rest of the world. This was never true before. This is an indication of the energy of Yesod, the times we are living in. Yesod is the male organ. Yesod has waste products, and Yesod has the sperm. It has life, all coming through the same organ, all coming in that same essence. That's the energy of Yesod, the duality of good and evil, which is really always good. We just have to open our eyes to see it. We have to rise above the perception of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and realize that it's the same tree that is the tree of life. All of that is there. That's what Mashiach is teaching. The essence of Mashiach will manifest. It can manifest with chaos, or it can manifest with peace. It can manifest with revolution, or it can manifest with evolution. The choice is ours. So how do we learn? How do we deal with that? What is the whole issue? We are told to be careful, and there's a lot of chaos associated with the year 2012 from the Mayan calendar. But people need to understand what is the source of the Mayan knowledge and wisdom. And I refer you to Genesis chapter 5, where it, or it's chapter 4, excuse me, where it says, no, it is chapter 5, I apologize, it's chapter 5, where the Torah says that Cain had a son whose name was Hanoch, not the Hanoch ben Yared, who rose to heaven and walked with God. But this is another man called and named Hanoch. And the Torah says that a city was named in his honor. If you look at our civilizations around the world, the Mayan civilizations, the South American civilizations, are dealing with the energy associated with technology. They're dealing with the energy associated with Cain. Cain, who is the negative side of Adam, the first child, who brought death into the world through his action of jealousy, through his lack of restriction. He proceeded according to the Torah. Now I'm reading it as a metaphor. It doesn't say this explicitly, but it is taught in Kabbalah. Cain had a son named Hanoch, who he named the city after. What is the energy of Hanoch? I've expressed it a couple of times. It's about revealing the hidden wisdom of God. That's the essence of the name Hanoch. It connects to teaching. It connects to dedication. It connects to technology. What is technology? It's living in a city. You can't live in a city without technology. There has to be a market. A market takes tools. A market takes people communicating. A market takes a whole different level of living than living in a country, living on a plot of land that you farm, providing for your own needs in that way. Technology means you share the work. Somebody becomes a tailor, and somebody else becomes a programmer, and somebody else becomes a food distributor. Sharing the workload. Technology is a wonderful tool, but it also has a negative side. It is the tree of knowledge, good and evil. These are the source of the Mayan civilizations and the South American Indian civilizations. I don't remember their names. The source of the Aztecs, which are different than the Mayans, different times, but the source of these souls that inhabited this was a very negative, bloodthirsty level. Whenever we talk about bloodthirsty throughout history, whenever we talk about death rates and killing and wars, we are talking about other entities other than human beings. Angels or demons, whichever you want to call them, because they're different levels of consciousness created by Hashem, part of the process. And there's a trade going on among these entities in something called life force. The Chinese call it qi. The Jews in the Torah calls it nefesh, the lowest level of soul. Whenever you talk about a society dealing in bloodthirsty actions, or you talk about a society that has entered a war level, like the Holocaust, you are talking about an agreement and a motivation by what we call the occult, by the negative forces who are looking to harvest human life force. Mashiach is the opposite of that. Mashiach is the destruction of that. That's why there is a Mashiach ben Yosef who will wage war against these forces, who will utilize the 70 nations as their tools, and the nations will go along with it, not really needing to, not really wanting to, not really understanding the cause of their actions, which is these negative forces. And there is a Mashiach ben David that will take over, that will come from this system. We know what the end result will be. Mashiach will manifest. These negative forces will be defeated. There is no question. Even they know they will be defeated. They are trying to lengthen the process to the last instant. That's their job. They were created to do that, to make us busy with them. Or we can choose to connect to the light, connect with the Torah, connect with God. This is our choice. Don't be worried about 2012. Be worried about today. Don't be worried about today. Just do your work and have the certainty that the end times will come, or are here, and the end times will manifest with you being in the people who will be in the Garden of Eden on earth, called Mashiach. And I'm going to close with a Gematria discussion. The word Mashiach has a gematria of 358. The word nachash, the word snake, has a gematria of 358. What do we learn from the consciousness that the negative side as envisioned with the concept of a snake, of the Nahash? What is the negative side have to do having a gematria with the same as the Mashiach, the positive side? comes to teach us the unity of both the snake, the negative side, and the Mashiach, the positive side, are two sides of the same coin. Let me repeat that. I'm using a metaphor. We have a coin. It has heads and it has tails. We flip the coin. 50% of the time, the snake comes up on top. And 50%, the Mashiach comes up on top. No, that's not the kind of coin we have. The Mashiach will always come out on top. And the snake will always be on the bottom. But one cannot exist without the other. Sharing cannot exist without receiving. Can I share more than I've received? In our physical world, no. But in the level of Hashem, the level of God, there is unlimited, unending, endless sharing of good. There is no limitation. There is no snake. There is a receiving. And that is us. But that is us after we have transformed ourselves. That is us after we have remade ourselves, perfected ourselves. And by perfecting ourselves, by becoming perfect, we perfect the world. We correct the world. We look around and people are telling us we're destroying the world. And that's the illusion. The world cannot be destroyed by humanity. There are built-in safeguards. Does it mean I can continue to trash the ecology? No. I have to change. Now, I can change through laws that people enforce to make people change. Or I can change by knowledge of understanding the effect of my action of tossing a piece of garbage into the landfill, then that piece of garbage is something that won't return to the elements for 50,000 years. Or I can toss something into the garbage that recycles within a year or two. Knowledge becomes the wisdom. Or actually, it's wisdom becomes the knowledge that lets me utilize the change. We can change ourselves, and by so doing, we change the world. This is Mashiach consciousness. If we understand that we are all connected to every other connection soul in the world. When I change myself, I change myself in every one of the 6 billion people on the earth. Because I am within them. I am part of them. I am them. Not the totality of them, because they have their own soul and it's separated from me. But in the endless world, it's all one. And the endless world is here now. When I change myself to become more connected to the unity of all, that change changes all 6 billion people. Just a little bit. Just that part of them that is me. This is Mashiach consciousness. This is the teachings and the wisdom of Kabbalah. Don't be concerned about 2012. Don't even be concerned about the teachings of Rabbi Ashlag, who says it's 5718, 2018. Don't be concerned with any teaching that says this is the end of the world, because we know that the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet is the Taf. And the Taf, when we look at its appearance, has a little foot, not a little foot, has a large foot that goes off to the left. The Taf is made up of a Dalet and a Vav, but that Vav is upside down and the hook appears as a hook, as a foot. When we visualize that shape, we learn the Taf is the last letter, but it's the doorway to the new beginning. And just like someone dying is in a better place, they've been put into the ground, which is where their body goes, but their soul returns to the Garden of Eden. Their soul returns to the place where they either come back to the physical world by being incarnated, or they wait for the rest of us to complete our corrections, our tikkunim. The wisdom of Kabbalah teaches, choose change. Change, evolutionary change, has less chaos. Evolutionary change brings Mashiach with peace and serenity and natural process. Don't worry about the end of the world. Make the new beginning happen. Does anybody have any questions? Gloria.
How is the client associated with technology?
They had great technology. How did they build their pyramids?
Nobody knows.
Exactly. They had great technology that we don't even have today. We can't duplicate it today. We can duplicate it with our technology, but we can't duplicate it with our concept of primitive technology. Their technology was superior.
They didn't have images of wealth.
Their technology came from the other entities who traded life force for their technology. We have a midrash, a metaphor describing that all of these demons traded with man, brought the technology of the heavens.
So they sold their soul?
They sold their slaves because they perceived their slave as not part of them. But we come to know that every human being is a slave to God. Every human being is part of me. How can I sell my soul? How can I sell my slave? How can I sell my life force to another entity? We know that. We understand it. But they veil our perceptions. They have the technology to veil our perceptions. In the Tanakh, we have the story of King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. He was a great king, meaning he was not a Jewish king, but he was a great king. He was given permission to destroy the temple. He was given permission, and yet when we read the story, we see how they affected his mental capacity, and they made him an animal. He lived in the forest at night. He thought of himself as an animal. He went hunting like an animal. He ate grass, and he ate animals that he killed like an animal. They affected his mind. It's described in the Tanakh. You can read it. The translations usually don't include it because they don't understand it, but the Hebrew original is relatively clear. we are affected by our brain waves, and our brain waves are coming from outside of us. That outside of us is our intuitive self, meaning our higher self. But there's also another source that enters that channel of information, the negative side, the side that wants life force, that causes us to do actions that will bring them life force. A parasite lives on a host. Sometimes it kills the host and kills itself in the process, but it doesn't know that it's killing the host. It's just doing its job. The host has to die. The parasite has the desire to live, and it lives off the energy of the host, which kills the host. A vicious cycle. This is part of the process, a natural process. But we don't see it as a natural process because we don't see these entities. They're there.
There's also the concept that the Mayans were aided by aliens.
What does it mean to be an alien? Spaceships and all of the other projections. Yes. So what am I saying? I'm saying entities. I don't say they come from a different world. They might come from the inner earth, from the worlds within the world.
Yeah. But that's my question. Is that what you're referring to by being aided by different entities? I think people interpret her as, I don't know, people from other planets.
The Zohar describes the seven levels of earth. And it teaches, the Torah teaches, that there are inside our earth, there are seven other earths separated from each other. And it teaches that Adam fell to the lowest level, the world of total darkness.
You mean under the soil? Where are the other earths?
Well, I'm not saying where. Maybe it's another dimension. Maybe it's another physically under the... in the magma that we perceive, you know, we don't know where it is. But we're taught that there is seven earths just as there are seven heavens. And the earth that we inhabit is the highest of the earths. It's the center point between the highest heaven and the lowest earth. And it's taught that Adam, when he got angry at Chava for bearing Cain, who brought death into the world, he stopped having relationships with her for 130 years. That's a metaphor, understand. But still, for 130 years, he was having wet dreams. And those wet dreams were from the negative entities. Those wet dreams were the source of the people who live in those worlds. Those people are described in the Zohar, and the description in the Zohar is exactly what you hear from people who say they've been abducted by aliens. The grays and the blues, these are descriptions of different peoples who live in different parts of these seven earths. It's all in Torah. There is nothing new under the sun.
Are there higher beings?
We have the capability of being the highest. We are presently fallen. The purpose of Mashiach is to transform us to that higher level. The angels right now are higher than we are. They will become lower than we are. When we change, perhaps. Right now, they are higher. We were created to be higher. But when the sin of Adam took place, we fell to be lower, which is where we are now. But we will return to the level higher when we mature, when we evolve to the higher spiritual level. When we start to use 100% of our brains and 100% of our hearts, and we do so in a balanced way.
When I get highest, I can get
Yes, there are worlds that are higher in technology. There are worlds that are lower in technology. Technology is a tool. It can be used for good or for bad. The highest technology is to be able to utilize our psychic powers to manifest anything we need without having to create it physically. And what is it that we need? Fulfillment of love. What is it we need? To be close to God. That's what we were created to be. To desire to be closer to God. What is the purpose of technology? Makes our life easier in the physical world. Gives us time to study the spiritual worlds. Connect to the spiritual worlds. Open doors to the spiritual worlds. Once the doors are open, to struggle with the spiritual entities, including God, wrestling with God, and arriving at a level that we can take our physical into the spiritual. We only have 230 years to the next step. With technology we have, but do we use it for that, or do we watch football games and drink beer? Do we watch soccer games in South America and drink beer? So it's not you. So what are you busy with? Making money? Is that a spiritual process? I'm not attacking you. I'm using it as an example. We all should. So if you feel that you're being lazy, get yourself up and do something spiritual.
I want to be lazy.
Go to the hospital and sit in the sick room and make someone feel better. You're feeling lazy? Go to an old age home and make someone feel loved that has no family to visit them. Do spiritual actions. Help people. And who are you really helping? Not the other person, but yourself. Because by doing that action, you are creating the vessel to receive the light of God, the fulfillment from God. And this is the paradox, that everything I do to grow spiritually is really about my desire to receive for oneself alone, which is ultimately the desire to be close to God. But that's for another class. We've run over time, so I need to draw the class to a close. Are there any other quick questions? Good night. Have a beautiful evening. We have a class tomorrow on the Tree of Life, the Sephirah of Geburah. And on Thursday at 10 p.m., we will have a class on the Zohar. That we will be explaining more of these teachings. Have a beautiful evening.